Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Barca for All podcast. We are coming to you fresh off of another Clasico win, our 13th consecutive one, mind you. And I personally am very happy to be here on this lovely, lovely Sunday after, I would say, an incredible win that we all just experienced together. And that's I'll give that as my intro. That's my intro today. I am on cloud nine because I just got to watch Caroline Graham Henson play for 70, 80 minutes. So I'm doing pretty good. And this time around, I'm going to be asking Rajesh first. How have you been? How has your day been? I hope it's as good as mine because of the result that we just had.
I had a pretty good week outside of football, watching football as well. And like every time we see Barca play, and if you have a player called Caroline Manson in your team, it will make you like so much happier than what you're already being. I'm pretty much excited for this episode.
It is really nice following a team that just consistently makes you happy. I had that kind of thought the other day when we played Braun and played pretty bad, which we will talk about. How other teams and other fans of other teams watch their team play like that all the time, and they're like all the time. Every 3 days they watch their team play like that. And I don't know how people sit through it. I'm gonna be honest. Like, watching your team suck and play badly, it's not enjoyable to me. And I also don't think that you're like a better fan if you sit and watch it and don't complain about your team playing bad. But that's just me. I have a lot of thoughts about the Braun game, if you couldn't tell. But today, my mood is more influenced by the Clasico. So that's what I'll be going into the rest of my day with. But, Borja, how have you been? Again, hopefully as good as me.
I would say even better, because ooh, I enjoyed, I enjoyed today the game versus Real Madrid. It's always fun to mm-hmm. trust your biggest rival. I don't know if in the women's football we can say our biggest rival.
I don't even know if I consider it a rivalry yet, because they've never won.
Yeah, but in the end, as I live in Madrid, like I get some extra joy from winning to Real Madrid.
Right.
But what I meant is that I'm happy about that. I mean, like, pretty much I think everyone expected us to win. But we have another important game this weekend. Just talking about football, in Barcelona context. I'm talking about football, but we just won the Copa de España on football indoor. That's great as well. But what I mean is Barça B women's team had a big important this weekend.
Yes,
we played against Deportivo La Coruña, that just right before the game was the leader of the Primera Federación. That was last weekend. But this week, Deportivo just had a draw against Osasuna, and we had the chance to get on top of the table. And we did, because we won Fundación Albacete by 2-0 with goals from Ari Arias and Lucia Corrales. Yeah.
Did Dragoni score? Or am I thinking of one that was before that?
No, yeah, it was. The Dragoni was last weekend, I think. Right. No, but this weekend was. Lucia Corrales first, and then Ari Arias. Who could expect that, right? Very happy because, for the B team, you don't ask them to win the league. I mean, it's just a formation team that you want them to develop players for the first team. And they do it pretty good. But if they win, that's an extra that gives more joy to Barcelona fans. And if you do it on the same weekend that you win the Clásico, the first team, It's double joy.
Absolutely. Good. That's good. I'm glad we're all doing well. I had a good week myself, just in general. outside of the influence of us absolutely obliterating Madrid in another Clásico. So good. I'm glad to hear that, you guys. So today, I will preface that it's a pretty, really light news day, or news episode, I should say. There's really not a lot to talk about, so much so that this week I added a Rival Watch thing to the script, which we never talk about. But really, most of what we have in relation to news is, like, there's really no big injury news, there's really no huge transfer news. There was, like, a weird thing that happened in the middle of the week where Jule Brand, I think is how you would say her name. I feel like that would make sense for German. She was linked to us, and then maybe not even 2 hours later, her agent came out and said, oh, no, she's not. She's playing out the rest of her contract. So that's not happening, I guess. I don't know. That was weird. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts about that at all? Because I don't. I mean, it was just kind of out of nowhere and weird, and then it was shut down within an hour.
I'm sad because I'm the president of fans of Jule Brand coming to Barcelona.
Interesting.
Like, I think I asked for that. Not that I asked, because for sure I know way less than whoever works in the sporting direction of Barcelona. But I remember the year that we faced Hoffenheim in the Champions League. I think it was on the 21-22.
It was, yes, right.
She was still playing for Hoffenheim. She was on the last year of her contract, I think. And I don't know, she seemed like a very fine player. And it was at the time where we were having doubts about, is going to leak Martins Rooney or not? And I don't know, I like her. And I thought that she could fit very well at Barcelona. Then she signed for Wolfsburg, which apparently seemed like a wise step in her career, because mm-hmm. you go to a team that develops players, etc. Don't know from now on, because Wolfsburg doesn't look great.
I know that a lot of Wolfsburg fans were very upset at the fact that she wasn't like a regular starter and that she wasn't being subbed in for big games.
Yep. Yeah, and she had this thing with the sporting director.
I mean, like, the sporting director criticized her performance, and it went public, which wasn't a good thing to do when you have a player like Jule Brand. So yeah, like, it kind of like demoralized her. But she gave another interview after the statements from the director, and she even said that she will try to recover her form soon and show her what she can do.
Yeah, so in the end, you have like a winger that fits in Barcelona, because at the moment, I think we need an extra winger at least. Probably we will talk about this in future podcasts about what we feel we need for the next season. But for sure, and I think we will agree, we need a winger, because just relying on Caro as the winger that it's a winner on 1v1 situations and in dribbling, it's not the optimum point, because if you miss Caro, you're gonna suffer. So probably you need that kind of winger, and probably Jule Brand can fit in that role, right? Probably, hopefully. So that makes sense, but at the same time, is like, it was denied in the following hours, right?
Oh yeah, within like 2 hours, her agent was like, "Yeah, that's not happening. Sorry, she's playing out the rest of her contract," and it was over.
Yeah, I don't know. It was Socardana who gave away the news or the scoop that then.
Yeah, it was Socardana.
Again,
sometimes I feel like they just make up stuff for fun.
They're just relying on the Lique Martins thing. fuck them. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that. Cut this, please. No, I don't like him. No, I don't like them. I'm sorry. I don't like them.
That's much more fun. They're going to kill this.
How far into it are we?
No, they are going to hate us. It's just me individually. I don't like them, because they. Yeah, doesn't matter.
I'll write down the fucking timestamp for that. That was hilarious.
So in the end, yeah, you have Jules Brandt who could fit in Barcelona, but yeah, the situation is I don't see Barcelona paying that huge money because she has like a pick below clause, right? So I mean,
that wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, for sure we could pay it, but I don't think that it makes sense at the moment if you want to put that money elsewhere. So yeah, just unlucky that she didn't sign a shorter contract because it could be an option if she was free this summer. But yeah.
Well, that's pretty much all we have to say about that. There is some other like news about transfers and renewals and stuff. So, first thing is that Mariona's renewal is starting to legitimately stall. It doesn't seem she seems more up in the air. We talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but there have been more official reports that have come out since then that's like she might not be staying here. I don't think that she's been solidly linked to anywhere else or if she's gotten an offer from anywhere else, just really speculation. But also in relation to that, I think it was Sandra Riquelme who said this, but Lauren Hemp is looking more likely to extend her contract with Manchester City. I'm confused because I remember when that news broke, it didn't seem like I don't want to say it seemed like a guarantee, but it seemed like really, like the links were really, really heavy that she was coming to Barcelona. And like that was something that had been set in stone without like pen to paper. So yeah, that kind of feels kind of random. I mean, do we think that that might have just been like her and her agent using links to Barcelona to get a better contract extension? Like, what do we think happened here?
I don't know about you guys, but I think the interest from Barcelona was very honest, like very related to what I just said about Brand. Barça, I think at the moment needs a winger that can rely on that we can rely on her ability on 1v1 situations and dribbling, etc. Because we just have Caro, and if you're looking that on the market, probably Hemp is the one that makes more sense because first, she has greater quality, although I don't think she will have like a perfect fit of Barcelona at the moment. But anyway, I think it would be a very good option and very reasonable because she will come for free. And she's one of the best wingers in the world, though. So I could see why Barcelona would be interested in her, and actually it would make sense to me. I don't know about you guys, if you think the same or if you think it was her agency.
I agree with you, because I haven't seen a City player not extending their contract like towards the end of the season. I have seen them doing it like in the month of Jan. In the case of like Alex Greenwood, she renewed like 6 months, 7 or 8 months prior to a contract ending, and it happened with a few other players in the past, and I have never seen them like going into the last month. So I think there was a legitimate interest from Barca, and I don't know like how could it end up.
I don't know. I think she would be good, and I think she would improve personally, kind of probably similarly to the way that Kira has come in, and you know, she's improved her own ability tenfold, and she's sort of really meshed into the team. But I don't know if she would, like, I don't know if we're looking at a future best winger in the world if she joins, you know what I mean? I don't think it would be like a negative in any sense. I mean, she's a very good player. But I don't know. I don't know how well she would fit in. I don't know how well she would mesh. When players, I personally feel like when players come in from teams that aren't like even near the same level of or that don't have focus on like anything near the level of on tactics and what am I thinking of? I'm kind of fumbling on my words today. I also did that in the last podcast. This is kind of a problem. When they of tech, what the fuck am I trying to say? When they come from teams that don't have just the same level of technical stuff and tactical stuff, I'll just say stuff, even though it makes me sound stupid. It's like, it's hard for them to mesh into Barcelona. And I feel like we've seen that with Lucy. I feel like in Kira's first season, especially the first half of her first season, we saw that with her. We saw that for like Kira Hamraoui's entire Barcelona career. We've seen that with a lot of players, and it can sometimes be hard to watch, I will be honest. Like, having to sit through someone just, like, not integrate. And it can be harder, especially for a player to get adjusted to when they're in their mid to late 20s, when they just have never played in a system like ours. So that's really my only thought on Hemp. But I do think that if she came here, we would be able to develop her into a much stronger profile. But I don't know. I agree.
I think many times we read this transfer in the women's football in the same way that we do it with the men's football, and it doesn't. I mean, I think it's very different in the end. For sure, the personal life, its situation is very different. Like you cannot bring your family or part of your girlfriend or whatever with you to Barcelona, and then there are also like a lot of stuff that comes down with that, like for instance the cost of moving out to another city can be great, it can be big actually if you don't have like a big salary. Probably it's not the same in the Hemp situation, but probably it's attached to Manchester or the area because I don't know, personal things, because he has a mortgage or anything, I don't know. But the thing is that whenever she declines the Barcelona offer because she renews with Manchester City, I don't think we should read all of that. Just, and it's the same with other situations, not just about that we couldn't offer anything of the best project for her, because it wouldn't be true. Actually, it would be the opposite. But yeah, just considering that in the women's football, the transfers, many factors can affect than in the men's football transfer, I would say.
Right. I hate how many good players we're losing to coaches. Not losing, but just like that are having to play and are choosing to play under coaches like Gareth Taylor.
The thing is,
it sucks. It genuinely is disheartening for me.
Yeah. The thing now that I'm curious about is why Kira, Lucy, Caroline Weir, and Stanway left.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, has anything changed? In the moment,
for this,
I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm wondering. Did anything change?
Maybe they are top of the table with Chelsea.
Yeah, wait for May whenever they concede a stupid defeat against Aston Villa and they
shut up.
And they get second. That will happen. We already know. Like, I mean, like the same story.
Ebony Salman just scored against Arsenal. For those who need context,
and like. When they qualify for the Champions League, that would be a tough task for them, because whenever they have qualified for the Champions League, they have finished it in the next season. So I don't know if Taylor is the right coach for them, and he's going to stay for another 3 years. That's the report from some of the journalists, I guess. I don't know the name. I think it's Tom Gary. Revealed it. So yeah, like it doesn't make sense to renew for City for another 3 years if you don't have a solid project.
The good thing in the end is that the Hemp thing didn't consolidate and didn't go further, because I wouldn't want a case repeated like Midema, that we knew in May that she was declining the offer. So it's good that we know that by March. So that's good, because if you rely on signing Lauren Hemp and you stop pushing for, I don't know, George Dottir or any other kind of winger that could fit in Barcelona, that would be bad. So
especially
if you already
if
know
Mariano
that...
doesn't end up renewing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, and I don't know to which extent that's related. I don't know
really?
Where...
Oh,
yeah,
like,
I mean...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get what you mean.
I mean, if she leaves, you for sure need a left winger. Probably Vicky could do as well the role of a false winger, etc. But the thing is that, yeah, probably you need to sign anything on the left if Mariona leaves. And Hemp could fit there. But the thing is, I don't know if it's related to the fact by the... I don't know if Lauren Hemp has big offer. Is any big offer coming from City? Because I think they really need a good midfielder. And yeah, Mariona plays as a winger at Barcelona, but I think she could do well as a midfielder in City. So the thing is, you mentioned about the rumors. It's not rumors, because in the end it was by Catalunya Radio and Ruth Vila. So I think it's pretty much reliable that they say that that Mariona has big offers. We don't know yet exactly from where. I mean, like, it could be, I don't know, if it's from the English league, it could be from one of the top three. And if it's from the American league, it could be anyone, right? But the thing is, if Mariona leaves, you need something on the left. That could be related. But hopefully we keep Mariona and we find anything else for a winger. Because, say we need it.
If Mariona does end up leaving, do you think Esme will replace her as a regular starter?
I think.
Fridges, do you want to go?
No, I think it could be Vicky, because she has the most potential to replace Mariona. I don't see Esme getting into the role yet, because she's neither a winger nor a forward. So I think we kind of see her as a utilizing player, just like we did with.
I agree.
It's with AMC. We are just replaced an younger player who did the role of AMC. I don't see SB replacing Mariona yet, and I don't think she has the potential to go into that role. I feel like it could be Vicky, and we might end up developing Dragoni into that role, because she has the same capabilities of Mariona, but at a younger age.
Ironically, Dragoni is playing a lot as a right winger at Barcelona B. I don't know why, but...
Oh, really?
I don't know, but maybe that's something relevant for the future. It's just that Laia Martret has been injured and she's starting to get in more minutes, and the fact that Ona Barad and Onyeka Gamero, who have played as a right winger, have been injured. So let's see where she's heading and where Barcelona see Dragoni performing the best.
Interesting.
But I don't know exactly in which position we will see her in the first team. I agree with Rogers about what Vicky said, about what he said about Vicky. Probably is the most logical one, the most logical option to play as a left false winger. I think she could replicate very well that. But there is something that where Mariona stands out as a false winger and even as a false nine. That is her physicality, not because her ability to repeat efforts and attack the space, but also about protecting the ball with her body. And that's something that neither Pina and at the moment, because she's very young, Vicky can do. So if Mariona leaves, you probably need something maybe you don't look for a winger, but you look for a player that can play as a false nine, something. That's very complex, because at the moment that you get a very good partnership between Salma and Mariona, if you miss one of them, you need to rebuild on the forward line something. I don't know exactly what, and I don't know what Pere Romeu ideas does he have, but you need to plan something about that. Hopefully she renews and we don't have to
deal with
this. Yeah. Because it could be a a big puzzle for the next coach and the sporting direction. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Also, something I feel like I've seen a lot of people, you know, kind of worrying if Mariona will quote unquote pull a Lika, and I'm like, I don't think that's possible unless it comes out that Mariona has like given her word to the club that she will renew. I feel like with that, people have been forgetting that the whole issue with Lika doing what she did is that she had everyone convinced until like May or like April, May or June or whatever it was that she was continuing with the club and that she was going to renew. So I don't know if we can make the two things equivalent. It was very different situations. But yeah, that's something I've observed a couple of times, and I wanted to mention that because I thought it was funny.
Yeah, the thing with you mentioned about Esme, I agree as well with what Roy just said. But I mean, like, I tend to give 1 year of credit to a player that comes. I mean, like,
yeah,
we gave Engen 2 years, so I think it would be fair to give at least one to Esme. So right.
Especially when they come from a completely different league. And
the scenarios, yeah, absolutely.
And isn't the Dutch league like a semi-professional league? I don't think it's fully professional.
I'm not sure, but for sure it's
not.
Yeah, Ajax is doing great, but you don't know exactly what's the level. So yeah, but in the end, the thing is, at the moment, I don't see Esme replicating that role of Mariona because I don't think she has the abilities or even the potential. And overall, at the moment, I have many doubts on Esme. Mm-hmm. For sure, it's a good piece that you can keep. And for next season, I don't expect anything but see remaining at Barcelona. But for the future, I mean, last 2 years, we might need to see something different from Esme next year. Or otherwise, it would be complicated. Because at the moment, yeah, she can be a good backup for Salma as a nine. Because she has that ability to repeat efforts and target space and good movements, etc. But besides that, she missed something more that can be more differential. Because and in the on the wings, and she still hasn't provided. So yeah, I mean, like we will see next year and we judge. But yeah, it's a big if.
Okay. I think that about wraps up our conversation on Mariona and Lauren Hemp, etc., etc. The next and probably last thing that we'll talk about in relation to news is Rival Watch stuff. So, we talked a little bit the other day about how Eva Navarro, she was kind of sort of linked to us for like 2 days, which was absolutely just a ploy by her agent or whoever to get her a better contract with Madrid, because now it's being reported that she, Maria Mendez, and Sheila Garcia are all going to sign for Madrid this summer. The Maria Mendez news is particularly interesting because, excuse me, I had to swallow. she was linked as part of our transfers, like I think pretty legitimately, especially after news kind of broke that Levante were going to have to make cuts to their budget with the women's team. So, I mean, I'm not particularly intimidated by this, I will say. I think probably out of all of them, Maria Mendez is going to be the best addition, just because their defense is terrible, as we saw today, and we're fondly reminded of today. But yeah, it's you know, I don't necessarily think that these are a bunch of world class players. You know what I mean? They're good. They're definitely above average. They're definitely quality players. Well, at least Eva Navarro and Maria Mendez. I don't think Sheila Garcia is. I don't really rate her that highly as a player or a person. However, yeah, I'm not really too intimidated by this. You know, they're not signing Ada Hegerberg like they've been talking about for the past 5 years. So,
yeah, in the end, it seems like they're signing the Spanish national team B.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it seems like it. That's their transfer strategy. And if they want to do that, then sure, whatever.
I agree with what you said about Sheila Garcia because people. I don't know. I remember during the Euro Cup, there were so many people I know that no ball, that were so hyped with her, and for me it was just a fullback that has a good ability carrying the ball. But besides that, I mean, like nothing else. Like
people see the most like above average, not even like great players from Liga FN, and like, oh my god,
these yeah, I don't
really
know,
really good, and like the only player they ever see with like technical ability.
Yeah, probably you're very right. Yeah, but yeah, in the end. I never rated that much, and yeah, for sure she has a very fit for Real Madrid for off the field reasons.
Right.
I don't know
if you are listening to this and you are curious what we're talking about, just Google Andresa Alves and Sheila Garcia Barcelona 2019, and you should come up with quite a bit of news articles detailing what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and then there was also the thing with the national team. She was alongside with Atenea del Castillo.
She was one of the two players that was didn't want to sign the letter or whatever, send the email or something, like after the World Cup and the stuff where they. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. I have the right timeline, right?
Yeah. It was about during the Oliva camp that we're asking for changes in the Spanish federation. About kicking out and firing the people that were looking for Jenny Hermoso to give another declaration, etc. For those people that pushed the players to say something that was not real. And just asking for overall upgrades. But I agree that with what you said about Maria Mendez. I don't miss that from a Barcelona perspective because I read a lot of people saying and asking for, or we need to sign a center back for the team, blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, I don't agree. Like, at the moment, yeah, for really? Sure, Mappy is injured. Yeah, for real, yeah. At the moment, yeah, for sure, Mappy is injured, and that leaves a big empty space in the team because I miss a lot that fucking left foot. a lot. People don't know how much difference does it make to have a left-footed center back. Anyway.
Yeah, you don't know unless you watch it every week. You really don't.
Yeah. So in the end, coming back to what I was gonna say, for me, Barcelona should just sign a top center back as a potential replacement for Irene Paredes, and that probably is Lai Alexandre next year. I don't think Maria Mendez has that high ceiling.
I don't think so either.
To be a starting center back for Barcelona. So probably she could be well for being a third center back, but I don't think she has the level to be a top center back that could be that top five in the world.
I wanted her to come, not because I thought she had the potential to become world class, but because I think her ceiling is high enough to be like very much above average, very much like, not so much starting quality, but very close to it. And I guess like when we see how Barcelona plays and how our backline functions when Mappy is out, it makes it hard to not want a player like that because our second best option is Engin, which as we have seen, especially with Irene, I think she does well when she's paired with like another world-class center back next to her. Like she did great with Mabi, and I think she does well with Irene. But when you pair her with another above average center back, such as Torre, for example, it's a disaster. And I look at that kind of situation we've seen that backline with Engin and Torre a couple times. And it's been really bad. Not like terrible bad, but like it's just not fun to watch. And I see like, you know, maybe if she was paired with someone like Maria Mendez, it would be different because she would have someone who's like more solid, better accustomed to that position.
But you're leaving out of the equation, Jana Fernandez.
I am, because I don't know where she's at with her.
Oh, at the moment, she's training with the group, so probably she will come back
soon. I don't mean about like her injury status. I mean, like, as how she is as a Barcelona player at this point in her Barcelona career, she is just... I feel like she's in and out of injury a lot. I know that she has a lot of potential, and I know she has a lot of quality, but she seems like a player that will eventually end up leaving and not achieving everything that she has been capable of because she has had a hard time, such a hard time with injuries. That's kind of based on her, the way that she plays, it just seems like the vibes, you know?
Yeah. No, I can see your point, but I still think that she could be... I mean, I think she still has the potential to be... I mean, like, if she wasn't injured, I think she would be playing instead of Engen.
This isn't to say that I don't rate her highly.
No, I totally understand you.
I very much do. It's just, like, I do worry about her track record with injuries and how that might impact her career, especially because she's still so young.
Yeah, but the thing is that she's not being pushed, like, for instance, Pedri has been in the first team. So it's not like she's been playing for 73 games on a row for one season, and then she gets injured. Muscular injuries just because of that.
Yeah.
Probably she just had the same injury repeated because there was something wrong or just because I'm being unlucky. When you do that, I was actually listening to a podcast. It's called Team Barça Podcast. It's in Spanish, I'm sorry. But they interview very interesting people, and they were interviewing one former doctor that used to work for Barcelona, or I'm not sure about it. But anyway, he was like very famous and etc. He was talking about muscular injuries and the thing that when you get an injury from a muscle, that muscle gets memory from that injury. If you just get injured in the same part again, the rehabilitation needs to be longer in order to prevent having another injury. And
I did not know that.
The more times you get an injury on the same part of on the same muscle, the longer you need to rehabilitate and get more muscular power on that area in order to prevent future issues. So in the end, I think it's natural that if she has been unlucky with getting injured in the same muscle, that she needs more time, and that's completely right. But the thing is, nothing leads me to think that she will get injure repeatedly in the future. Like, it's the same with Kata. I mean, I know Kata has been prone to injury in the last year, excluding the ACL, okay? Right. But does anything lead me to think that is something chronical? No. So in the case of Jan, it's the same. So I'm just calling it a bad year.
Yeah.
And from now on, hopefully she would be fine.
I'm counting on him.
I'm just finishing. And the thing is, if you count Jana and you count then Torre and Engen, you have like 5 center backs. Why do you need an extra one? Because in the end, you have to give minutes to Engen and Torre as well.
Right. Yeah.
So my feeling is, talking structurally as a team, at the moment, we don't need a center back. If Engen leaves, if Jana leaves, that would be another situation. But at the moment, I just think we need to sign up center back if we know for sure that she will be the replacement for Irene Paredes. And because we have there is that offer on the market. And I think that at the moment, that player would be like Alexandre. I mean, for sure there are other better center backs, but I don't think they will come.
Yeah. Ooh, didn't she get like a bad injury?
No, it was a minor injury. Oh, good. It was... She had a knock in the game before this weekend, Lai Alexandri, and she had some discomfort from that during the warm-up. So, yeah.
Good. Are you going to say this?
No, I was saying that we do have one more backup from the B team. We have played Martino Fernandes.
Oh, yeah, fuck off. I forgot. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I know. Why? So, I was like we just don't need a central back.
Actually, yeah.
It's more about the winger and a pure number 9.
Yeah, the thing with Martina is that you don't know what the plans from the team are with her, because you have seen in the past Pina, Kata, other younger players that didn't make it to the first team,
mm-hmm.
And Maria Perez going on loan. And yeah. That's what they are planning with Martina. I don't know, but for sure, I mean, at the moment, for me, I would trust more Martina's center back than Torrejón. And to be honest, and to be honest, I have some doubts with Engen.
I would never disagree with you about that statement.
Yeah, I would agree with both of the statements.
One last thing I do want to bring up about Jana, I really just ask about it. So I also do worry, kind of in relation to what I was talking about, I also do worry about how much time the club is willing to give her. Because I feel like there have been times, especially in the recent past, where players have gone through a hard time. Or they've had like injury struggles, and I'm not saying that we like kick them out on the street, but I feel like, I don't know if we can or even do give players enough time to come back to 100%. Like specifically, I think about Jason, and granted, she wasn't physically injured, but she was dealing with a lot of. Well, it seems that she was dealing with a lot of like low self-confidence and whatever. And it's like, how long is the club willing to bank on however long it'll take her to come back from the injuries that she's dealt with? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing with Geisha is that she got like a big offer, right?
Yeah, right.
So in the
but
end,
I
probably...
don't even know if she would have wanted to stay if she didn't get that offer.
Considering what has said Giraldez on some interviews and so on, I think he valued a lot the profile of Geise. So I think she was remain within the team if it wasn't for the offer.
Yeah.
And the thing with Jana, I think pretty much is the same. I think she will remain, and I think the club has faith. In the end, it doesn't make sense to develop a player for 18, 12 years in your academy. And once they get to the first team,
that's a whole other
just
part of it.
Is getting rid of her just because she has a bad season with injuries.
Exactly.
I mean, it makes no sense in economical, in sportive sense. I mean, I don't see any logical behind that. So if it's not because she wants to leave because she feels that she needs some game time or that they know that she won't get better because of injuries, yeah. I think she will remain by it.
I think I was also kind of thinking of Bruna as an example of that. But we still haven't even set her away yet.
About Bruna, that's a big thing to... in Spain, we call it Belón por abrir. So basically, like, that's a sensible topic that we need to... that's a big topic that we need to cover in the future. But
I
think it's different because... Yeah, I think we, probably we overhype her. Especially Yus Cortés saying that she was the closest that she knew to Messi.
I don't know. I think she's pretty much the same as Messi. I love Bruna. I do. It is hard to watch a player like her have that season that she did in 2021 and then just never have anything like that again, especially after an ACL tear. I don't, you know, what do you even do about that? How do you manage that type of thing where it's like she has an ACL tear after such an insane season? So we've already seen at like 19 years old what she's capable of and the numbers that she's capable of putting up and like what. But then have her come back to such just not good form is just, I don't know. You know, I don't know how you're supposed to deal with that, especially considering that she's valued because of how long she's been with the club and how she's been homegrown. It's just, we don't have to get into this now. It's just something to think about. It's not an easy topic, and I'm sure it's not easy for the club to figure out either.
Yeah, I agree. We can move on because, if we get into it, it will be even a longer podcast.
It'll be a two-hour-long podcast.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing for Rival Watch, which personally I really care about this, but I understand if our audience does not. The Washington Spirit will be acquiring Lacey Santos at the end of the this Liga FA season, so she'll be joining them probably around like May or June, but maybe not because she also has the Olympics. So I don't know. But yeah, she is leaving Atleti. Atleti are in the shitter, you guys. They're not doing well. They just drew today to Eibar, and they are currently, I think, fourth in the table, if I'm not mistaken. No, they're not. They're fifth. They are now behind Madrid CFF, who are actually on 42 points, very close to being level with Levante, who are at 43 points. So Madrid's team's really comfortable in that second place position, but it seems like it's going to be just between Madrid and Levante, unless Atleti come back and stop being so terrible. But I don't think that's necessarily in their future. So yeah, Lacey Santos leaving will be a big loss for them. I don't know who they're going to sign, what they're going to do. Also, they're losing Sheila Garcia, who is a regular starter for them. So I don't know. And Evan Navarro. Oh my god. Oh my god. Yeah, Atleti are going to be cooked next season. I mean. Between Levante's budget cuts and Atleti's losing like three of their main starters, that's going to be difficult to replace. And hopefully it will make it so that Madrid CFF has a more solidified path to the the Champions League. But I doubt that. I don't know. I don't know. I just want another team to come out of Levante and Atleti being terrible and like actually do something in Europe. It's annoying when they can't figure it out. But I think that's pretty much it. So we have three games to talk about. We have the match against Tenerife, where we won by 7. We have the match against Braun, the away match in the Champions League. Against Braun, who we only won 2-1 against them, which is we had a terrible game, you guys. It was bad. And we also have today's Clásico, which is so fun. I love today's game. It was such a fun game. So we can just get started by talking about Tenerife. So personally, my favorite moment, or not necessarily, well, yeah, I guess moment of this match, is the fact that Rolfa scored 8 minutes in, her first goal back after a very short lead, like not a long time ago, coming back from injury. And then we had two Claudia Pina goals. I said this, I don't think anyone said this before me, but ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the Pinaissance. We're back. We're so back. Our stocks are rising again. Carolyn Graham Henson with her goal, Alexia with her goal, Torre with another one, and Gift Monday with an open goal, Nigerian international. Sorry about that, Gift Monday. So yeah, we won by 7.
It could be said that that own goal was a gift for Barcelona, right?
Yes, we could say that all own goals are a gift for Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I'm just sad that it was on Monday just to make the whole joke, so...
Shut up.
Sorry.
Also, guys, I have some great news for you. Alexia is a midfielder again. Can we get a round of applause? Anyway, midfielder Alexia is back, and I am alive again. I can breathe again. I feel like my head has just been taken out from under the water, and I'm reborn. Sorry, there's a very loud truck that just came by my window, if it was loud. Tell me how you guys felt about this match, because I felt great. I felt great. It was nice. It was really nice to see them play like this again.
To be honest, it was the match where I got the most fun since the Supercopa. I don't mind about the game, but there was such a good flow, fluidity on the ball. It was great to watch. And above all, Alexia not playing as a midfielder, because we saw that with the fucking Spanish national team, and we saw that in the World Cup, etc. But it was just how good she was on the ball, how skillful was, how fast was she moving the ball, one, two touches, blah, blah, blah. It was like very, yeah, I got my joy back. So, yeah, it was very, very fun to watch.
Like, the speed, I can see it returning a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I never said this because I usually say for myself or just for my private account, my most negative comments on Barcelona players, etc. But I remember during the World Cup, watching Spain, unfortunately, and I was watching that, and I was just, I can't recall saying twice or three times about, yeah, Alexis not turning like she used to. She's not having that touch on the ball as she used to. And that was worries, and that's what worries me. I don't know if she rushed too much to come back from the injury. I don't know when she will be back, but yeah, it started to worry me. And actually, I was in Spain in the Cadena Ser. They were also doing commentary on the matches, and they had as a guest Fermín Suárez, who is a great analyst. On TV and on radio stations, and they had also Lluís Cortés. I don't think I need to present who Lluís Cortés is, but both said basically the same, that they didn't see Alexia on the ball and turning and receiving the ball like they used to, like Alexia used to. And that started to worry me, because the best Alexia is the one that has that agility and ability, turning, giving one, two touches, etc. Right? So I think against Tenerife was the first game where she did it continuously during the whole match. And that was a relief, to be honest, because I just said to myself, like, okay, we are starting to see the Alexia that there used to be. And that's great, because I think that Barcelona really needs that profile of player that can accelerate the game in the last third and has that ability, because she's probably the best midfielder playing on the third height. I mean, like, the most advanced midfielder, I mean, Alexia is the best one in that role. So, yeah, we just need to renew her as soon as possible, because we shouldn't miss that. And hopefully will be a great addition for the last part of the season.
Sorry, that took me a minute to respond. I just saw that Pullova equalized for Arsenal. And I had some things to say in our podcast chat. But but yeah, Alexia, I mean, it's kind of hard to put into words how enjoyable it is to watch her play. Especially when she's in her natural position, when she's on 10, you know, she's just such a joy. And I really did genuinely miss how I felt 2 years ago watching her play, and how fluid her motions were, and how everyone around her just seems to just like click with her and immediately just start playing better. It's the way that she can command a match that way. It's so good to watch. And I'm especially so happy that the new fans can see it, because I've been hearing far too much talk these past 2 years about how she's overrated. No, ma'am. Uh-uh. We're seeing it today. We're seeing it again now that she's back. Now that we're back, we're so back. Oh my god. It's just, it's so nice. It's really great. And then the next match was terrible. The Braun match was terrible. It was a tough watch. The way that I think about this match is it feels like a loss, because of just, it wasn't good. So we won 2-1. It was the away match, and their fans showed out hard. They were booing Kato every time she got on the ball. They were just like heckling our players the entire time. They were shouting throughout the entire 90 minutes of the match. And I think it really, really affected their players and our players as well, because their players were did very well. I will say this. They frustrated us a lot. They made us turn over a good amount of errors. I mean, they were good. Kato scored the first goal, which the fans did not like. And then they scored the second goal in the 39th minute. And the reaction of, I'm not quite sure how to say this name, it's K-V-A-M-M-E, Kvam, maybe? Her reaction was really sweet. And I know I'm like supposed to be mad when the other team scores a goal, whatever. But she was in such disbelief that she scored that goal. I thought it was very adorable. I'm sorry, it was. And then Selma finally broke the deadlock in the 72nd minute with an assist from Aitana. So, yeah, just not a fun game overall to watch. Our shot conversion was really terrible. If I look at the stats, at least on FOTMOB, we had 32 total shots and 2 goals, which is disgusting. I don't know. We Mariona was particularly pretty bad. She was pretty.
The thing with Mariona is when she's starting to. In Spain, we say cargar la pierna. When she starts to...
Cargar la pierna?
No, cargar. Cargar la pierna. Okay. Like when you start to...
Shit the leg?
No. Cargar is like load the
shot. Oh!
But the thing is, when she starts to get the body position in order to shoot, you already know whether it's going to be a golazo or it's going to be a shot that's going very far away. And that's a funny thing about Mariona, that I wouldn't miss if Silius was Barcelona, to be honest. Because you already know, like, the shot is going to be shit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You mentioned her life. She can't.
Yeah.
I think it was...
Ironically, she shoots pretty well the penalties. And yeah. I was going to say that you mentioned about the shots of the team. Collectively, mm-hmm. Not just about Mariona. And yeah, for sure it was 20 shots approximately, similar to, for instance, for today.
20? Oh, no, it was in the 30s. That Barcelona had, we had 32 shots.
Even more, oh, okay. Even worse. So in the end, I think Barcelona, just as an overall analysis, I think Barcelona were really great off the ball. I think Engen and Paredes were really great as a rest defense. They prevented many times Brown from making the transition. Ironically, in the first one that they managed to do it successfully and make a transition, they scored a goal. There was some minor mistake from Quiraboz that led to the rest of the defensive line to not having the best position in order to defend. So I don't think it's a big thing to call as a mistake, but anyway, it could happen. But despite that, I think Irene and Engen were really great off the ball as a race defense. But and for sure, yeah, during the first half, I think we played great, to be honest. I don't tend to get missed by the result. I don't want that the result leads to the analysis, because I think it would be wrong. And to be honest, I think, yeah, we have a lot of chances. And we could have been maybe better, maybe finding more times Aitana when she got close to the line, or when we move from one side to the other, and we could find Mariona dropping from the striker position and offering a pass lane. Yeah, we could have done that quite a few more times. But overall, I think we did well. What worries me is that we didn't attack the box properly. Like, I don't remember the number of crosses, but there were like quite many. And many of those crosses were with just one player or two players attacking the box. And most of the times, not well placed in order to have a proper chance.
We had 14 crosses and 41% of them were accurate.
Yeah, but despite of how many are accurate, the difference is how much players you put attacking the box and where the area that they are occupying,
yeah,
in respect to the position. And many times it was not right. I mean, like, and there are also other chances of crossing that gets blocked that doesn't count. So anyway, that adds more number to that. So the thing is, what worries me is that, yeah, we sometimes over rely on crosses and many times we didn't attack the box properly. And I think that's, yeah, we got quite a few chances, but mostly we didn't have very big chances because of that, because we didn't attack the box properly. Even, yeah, even if there's a rebound, you need a player there to get that rebound. And most of the times, yeah, we attack the box with just very few players. And the other thing that worried me a little bit is that in the second half, we start playing worse. And I'm not sure of the reason. Because it's not that Bran changed the structure. Barcelona made some adjustments, but I don't know. I think maybe the Barca players starting to rush in. And yeah. Overall, I think we, in this kind of matches where the opposition sits on a low middle block, we really miss Mappy. Not because of her ability on the ball, but because being left-footed, I think she finds many times the right player on the space in between the lines. And again, can't do that, not because she's not that good on the ball, but also because she's not left-footed and you have different angle passes. So that's a thing. And I think Salma many times has way too many touches. Ironically, in the goal, she that's right, having way too many touches. But overall, I think she slows a bit the possession. So I think overall we played better, but there were some things that we maybe would need to be adjusted for the second leg this week.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about. Do you think it was the fans that really got to them? Because I have never, I really rarely see our players play so rushed and sloppy and just like they're like panicking almost. Do you think it was because of the fan support that Bron had?
Probably the turf made a bigger difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was artificial, and actually, to be honest, I really think that it makes a difference for Barcelona players when they play on cold environments, that they are more sloppy on touches and so on. So I think it would be rather than the environment. Maybe it could play a marginal thing. But for instance, Caro had a big match, to be honest, a good match. And it was and not the best friendly environment, I would say.
Yeah, definitely not. I also do want to highlight one of their players, their goalkeeper, actually. She was great. I thought she was really good. What's her name? Mikkelsen?
Is that the number 16 or...?
No, their keeper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a very... Yeah.
Yeah, she. I mean, personally, she was my player of the match. I think she was very, very good. But yeah, it was just not a. Hold on. Okay, so Eva Navarro is apparently between Real Madrid women or Manchester City. That's the news that was just sent. I don't care. she's probably going to Madrid. But yeah. Bron, I was really impressed by them. I'll be honest. I was really impressed by the fan support. I was really impressed by how they just held out for 90 straight minutes, and they did not seem to get tired. Yeah, they just kept going and going and going and kept dealing with our attacks. I mean, they did really well. And they weren't the only underdog, I guess, team to do well against a big team in the Champions League this week. I mean, Lyon struggled against, who did they get? Porto? Or no, Benfica. I don't know why I thought Porto.
Yeah.
PSG struggled against Hecken. You know, everyone seemed to struggle except for Chelsea. So that's cool. But
I wanted to highlight. I mean, like, they were doing it for the whole 90 minutes. And they didn't drop an intensity in this.
Exactly.
We usually capitalize in the last 20 minutes. And we try to team some score like more than 2 or 3 goals in the last 20 or 30 minutes. But that doesn't happen against Bram. And I could actually like highlight that we are also facing some fatigue because even against Real Madrid today for like a part of like 20 to 30 minutes, they look tired. I kind of think that since we are getting to the end of the season and they have accumulated so many matches and the flooding is like catching up on them. They are trying to plan the game in their mind. So let's like play with lesser intensity for some time. So yeah, I think it's part of the game management, and I don't think of anything else. We didn't have a perfect match other than these reasons. So yeah, I agree with what Bosa said about the game. We had a great game, but it's not the perfect game. But yeah, like, I'm happy with that result that we got 2-1 from the first game.
Yeah, because I mean, in moments like this, I do kind of miss players like Oshawala, who you can sub on and just have them run at their defenders for like 20, 30 straight minutes and eventually break them down and tire them out. But I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to us seeing another player like that. But yeah, Bron were very good. And now we can get to today's match. We won 3-0 against Real Madrid in their own stadium. And oh my god, so we had goals from Frida, from Aitana, and Caroline Graham Hansen. And let me tell you guys why I had such a great time. I don't think this is up there with the best matches I've ever seen Kato play in a Barcelona shirt. Very close to reaching my best one. I can't say definitively that it's my favorite one that she's ever played or the one that I think is the best, because she did have a couple moments where you know, she wasn't completely perfect in her shot conversion, but she was just tearing Olga and Ivana to shreds today. I was in shock at how she just, of how relentless she was. She was gliding on the ball. She was so strong when she was dribbling. I mean, I made this comparison, but I became a Barcelona fan in 2016. I wasn't able to grow up watching Messi play. I genuinely do feel like this is the closest thing we have seen to that in the women's game, maybe since Marta. And I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. It's incredible how good she is. And I am very grateful to have her on our team. I wish I could put into words exactly what she did and how much it means to me, but oh my good God. She's just incredible. I don't know. The Rolfa and Ona fullback duo, we are so back. This is the first time in the 5 years that I've been watching this team, and probably maybe ever, where we have had a world-class fullback duo. And naturally, they combined for the first goal. Ona assisted Rolfa's goal in the 10th minute, and it was really nice. I'm very excited for this team with the form that Kato is in, and with Frido back, because eventually we're going to see that Rolfa, Mapi, Irene, Ona backline, and it's going to hit like crack. It's going to hit real good. But yeah, that's my personal recap of it. I want to hear what you guys think.
It's going to be scary, but not for us.
It's going to be scary, but not for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I think Ona didn't have herpes much. I mean, and that's natural because in the end, like, she started, I mean, it's the first time she's playing on the right for more than 10 minutes since she used to play for, well, she's playing for the Spanish national team, but from since Manchester United. So she needs to get some automatisms with Aitana and especially with Caroline Graham Hansen. So there's a huge potential for that society. I mean, we have seen this season Aitana and Caro being better individually, also because of how they work together. And it will probably be the same with adding Ona. So let's give them time. Because actually we saw today Ona playing inwards. I mean, like, leaving the wing for Caro and Ona getting inside. And now it was surprising because on the left she has not done that. So let's see how it goes and how Jonah and the rest of the staff works with them. Yeah, I was actually watching the game. Sorry, not the game, but the third goal when you were saying, Kelsey, about that Caroline and Hansen and etc.
Yeah.
I was actually, like, not shocked, but it was like on that goal you see everything that Hansen can provide as a winger. Like, why she stands out is how close does she dribble with the ball on her feet, her agility with her feet, with footwork, how she can change direction very quickly, and how Olga totally misses that and cannot follow. And then she also, like, has that physical ability to get her body in the middle, and when Olga wants to anticipate, and Caro with her body prevents from doing that. Yeah, it was a good summary of what Caro is. In the second goal also, like, physically, Olga tries to catch her, and she can't even move Caro. And that's pretty shocking as well. Yeah, but anyway.
It's insane how someone can be so physically strong with the ball at their feet and actively moving it.
It reminds me a bit of Messi. Because
a bit? Girl, that's Messi reincarnate. That's him.
Yeah, but she's not left-footed. No, but in the end, what I mean, and obviously you have to mind some gap when you are talking about Messi, to be honest. No, but what I mean is, many people said about, oh, Messi is not physically, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. I mean, like, she absorbs the contacts of the opposition very well. And in this case, it's the same with Caro.
Yeah, because Messi, he's short. And, you know, you don't look at him and you don't think of him, like, hulking out because he's a little guy. But it's kind of the same as Caro, because you look at her and you know, she's tall and she's skinny. And
Skinny.
You don't think that she can, you know, keep her arms stretched out against Olga and push her away from her while dribbling with the ball at her feet and then scoring. Like, it's just unbelievable. She's just unbelievable.
Yeah, many people seem to misinterpret what physicality is. And yeah, for sure, if you are a 2-meter player and you are very fast, yeah, for sure, you have a good physicality, but it goes beyond that. And in this case, I think it shows up. So in the end, I think overall the game was pretty affected by Barcelona. I mean, to be honest, I didn't expect us to have so many starters in the 11. Like, I thought maybe Paredes and Caro would start because you need that profile of players. But I think the rest would be, like, very similar to last year, that we were in the same situation, like, with a very similar distance to Real Madrid. I've been in between the games of the first leg and the second leg for the Champions League, and I thought we were rotating as well. And I was surprised that we didn't. Probably it's because the players are more rested. I don't know. Giraldez and the staff knows better than me, so I have no reason to not trust them. But I think it's true as well that the team didn't press like they used to in the first half. because we saw many times Real Madrid having long sequences of passes. That is something that we are not used to, because they cannot in the games versus Barcelona, and today they had bigger and longer sequences of passes. And I think it's because Barça didn't press that much during the first half. They pressed in very specific circumstances, but I think that they left them some time on the ball. And that's why probably we didn't see that much superiority in the first half. And that's something that Caro highlighted at the end of the match, that she mentioned about how they had like a week for free and rested. And she mentioned that in order to explain why in the first half, yeah, probably they didn't wear that superior to Real Madrid. So yeah, we still had some chances, but yeah, in the second half, I think it made the difference, some adjustments that Giraldo made. I think Real Madrid defended better than they used to, not because they made some great adjustments, and if they or that they are better off the ball. I think they just defended closer to each other and closer to Misa, and that didn't allow Barcelona many time and space in between the lines. For instance, Pina in the first half, I think she didn't do what she had to in order to help Barcelona, because she many times offered herself in between the lines, but she wasn't free, and she couldn't have that many time and space to do what Pina usually does. And I think Real Madrid players were more aggressive when Pina or Aitana receive on the back.
Definitely.
I
mean, like, yeah,
they were very, very aggressive, and they prevented Barcelona players from turning. And I think that, so yeah, it also affected Barcelona and not getting many chances in the first half. But yeah, overall, then I think in the second half there were some adjustments with the position of the midfielder, with Aitana, Pina, Patria, and Akira, and I think it worked out pretty well. And also probably there was some just Barcelona more aggressive pressing, and then somehow the players of Real Madrid being more tired, because yeah, in the second half, like, yeah, for instance, Olga was so punished. So yeah, anyway, it was fun to watch. But anyway, I think if Barcelona were with a week rested, it would be even better. By the way, I'm just finishing. I'm sorry.
I made this
long speech. I really like it. Irene Paredes match. I think she was so good preventing transitions and anticipating and so on. And yeah, it's the same as in the Supercopa. She was so great as well. And yeah, I'm very happy, because not having Mapi, probably she has to have some. He has to have more responsibility in that sense as a rest defense and so on. And I think she's been managing that pretty well without Mapi being close to her. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you, actually. You saved me a lot of talking. Yeah, okay. That's a good overview. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. I'm happy with where the team's at right now. I feel good about it. Even though we just had that pretty bad match against Braun, I think we needed a win that felt this good, especially after that, to kind of bring us back to our level. Speaking of Braun, our next match will be the home match against Braun. So that will be the middle of this coming week. And then we will be playing Levante next week. So two pretty big matches coming up, and we'll see how those go. But most likely, the semifinal matchup we're going to end up seeing is Chelsea versus Barcelona. I don't know why I even asked that. I know they don't resort the draw and redo the draw for the semifinals. So yeah, we will most likely end up playing Chelsea if we make it through. So yeah, that is more or less the whatever's coming up next. We're getting close to the end of the season, so not many matches left to play. We'll have plenty to talk about the next time, I'm sure. But until then, we will thank you for listening and see you in the next one.